Lupa kuat kata Adnan luat suka Dalai pakuat kata.
Hello, this is Serena Toxicat, and this is our second episode of Neuromarvelous. And today I wanted to broach the subject of self-diagnosis and my personal opinion about the legitimacy of diagnosing oneself with ASD, and approach the controversy a little bit because I have been following a little of it on Twitter, and of course it's all over Tumblr and Facebook in the groups. And I don't know if it's on, I'm sure it's on Instagram. I don't know. But wrong planet for sure, because that's an autism specific website. And it's something that generally ends up in a flame war, if I can use that 1998 term. It's one of those things that involves validation and a sense of validation. And so on the one side, you have those who say there is no autism without professional diagnosis. And yes, it's how it sounds. They believe there is no autism without professional diagnosis, meaning the autism was not there, and then the diagnosis happened, and then the autism was there. But a person who assumes that extreme a position will admit that it's okay to be curious about whether one is autistic. It's okay to have suspicions. It's okay to recognize that the traits and symptoms are there, but it's just not okay to actually label it autism without that doctor's diagnosis. And then you have just the run-of-the-mill pro-professional diagnosis crowd who say, well, yes, autism is obviously something that's been there since birth or very, very young childhood, and it's either there or it's not. And they admit that there are people who do struggle every day with these symptoms that they have, and the dysphoria. You know, it is a dysphoria. It's like having any other type of dysphoria, but they believe that since it could be any number of things, or it could be nothing involving any pathology, that the only way you can really know, the only way you can say, yes, I have ASD, is to go and get a professional evaluation. So normally that's the crowd that you'll encounter. And then on the other side, I've actually been on YouTube and I've listened to people saying such things as, well, if you feel like you can't communicate with others and your interests are really different from others, then why wouldn't you be autistic? Why wouldn't you be able to declare yourself as being on the spectrum? And the reason that these people are saying that is because they themselves have decided to do just that. Now, I think there's a middle ground where, there are a couple of other points on that, if you want to call it a spectrum. There's, yes, you can self-diagnose with a great amount of certainty, with, 98-99% certainty, but only if you go on a lot of forums and talk to a lot of people and do a lot of your own research. The problem with that I personally have is you can't exit your own mind in order to observe yourself somewhat objectively, if you want to use the term objectively. And then there's a midpoint going, their view is yes, you should probably work towards getting a professional diagnosis, but because of the immense cost, the fact that there still are not enough autism centers around who are willing to diagnose adults, sometimes not enough to diagnose kids for that matter, and it's usually not insured, so out of pocket, you're going to spend anywhere from $800, depending on where you live, to $4,000, $5,000, and then you have to travel to get there. So if you have a car, that means you have to have the gas to get there. If you don't have a car, you have to have the funds for that. You may have to spend a night in a hotel, go back home, have your next day scheduled and go out and do exactly the same thing. So your $4,000 assessment is going to cost you $5,000. And even then, the person who assessed you could be wrong. So this type of person will say, it's valid, you're valid, but you have to do a lot of your own personal research. And I can see points. I can actually, I think everyone has a good point. The one that I don't agree with is that there is no autism until it's declared by the doctor, and then there is autism. But I think because that's worded that way, really what they mean is, yes, the symptoms are there. They've been there since birth or since the autistic was a very small child. But you can't actually use the word autism. So it's someone who has been professionally diagnosed, but they're protective of the actual word. Probably because they have encountered on Tumblr or other places online, including YouTube, a lot of trivialization, a lot of people just coming out and declaring themselves with very little information and saying, well, I was bullied in school, I'm super quirky and really intelligent, and hardly anyone understands me except for these other neurodivergent people. So I'm going to just go ahead and call myself autistic since that's probably what I am. So someone who has been living around other autistics their whole life, of course, they're going to feel a little bit annoyed. For sure, I would say annoyed would be kind of a given. And then some would be outraged because you're taking something that is one of the most important parts of their life and you're saying, oh yeah, you can claim it without actually doing the work of going and getting a professional diagnosis. It's kind of like how centuries ago, if you wanted a guru, if you lived in India or Nepal or the surrounding areas and you wanted a guru, you would have to actually do the work of going into the Himalayas, climbing mountains, finding the guru, first of all. Approaching the guru, you're probably going to get rejected one or two times after approaching the guru. And then finally, you may, after you've proven that you're someone who really wants to study and become enlightened, then the guru might accept you. So there's a lot of work that goes into that. So you've, you know, as it's put in the music industry, you've earned your chops. Same thing here. Now, what I did, I went through a community center it's not close to me, so I had to get a ride there. But it's a community center that's not autism specific, but they do have autism as one of their specialties. And they're a teaching clinic, so they have a sliding scale. So they were able to let me have my evaluation at 1,000 rather than their $3,000 upper end. I had to prove that I was low income. I had to prove that I was receiving disability benefits. But once I was able to do that, then they said, put down a good faith deposit. And then even if you want to just pay $30 or $50 a month until it's paid off, you can do that. So I'm lucky. I'm in the Bay Area. I know there are places in the country that are way out there, and what I just described is not even a possibility. Now, fortunately, they're starting to do the remote, you know, the teleconferencing, the medical remote or virtual exams. They have actually gone as far as to adapt the ADOS 2, to something that can be done virtually, telemedicine, or similar nomenclature. But so they've been working on this. This was before COVID. A lot of fields in medicine have been doing this. So it's going to become a lot easier for people to be able to obtain and probably afford, you know, a professional diagnosis. So that's good news. So at that point, if it becomes super affordable and the person does have the money, there's going to be sort of less and less of an excuse to say, oh yeah, I'm autistic, without actually having something to show for it, that they at least went and got an evaluation. There are people who, interestingly enough, do have the funds and they do have the time and the transportation to go get evaluated, and who still will not get evaluated. And I think what's behind that is that they want to be autistic for their own reasons. And being autistic is neuromarvelous. It's great, but you know, they're going in with the hope that they're going to be diagnosed on the spectrum, and they don't want to take the chance that they could go in and get an evaluation, which they can perfectly afford in every possible way, only to be told, no, you're not on the spectrum, but maybe you have anxiety, maybe you have, you know, some people could have other neurodivergent conditions, such as OCD or ADHD. But they want to be autistic, probably because they've spent a while in the online communities, either on Tumblr or the website Wrong Planet or similar. Wrong Planet, I believe, was one of the first, if not the first, communities specifically for people on the spectrum when Asperger's was still called Asperger's. And one of my friends started it, Bram Cohen. He started it with Alex, Alex's last name, but Alex is still, he still is very hands-on with the community. So people have found a home in these places, these online places, where they can be accepted for being different. They can be accepted even though they were bullied at school, even though maybe their families don't accept them or their families don't want to hear anything about them possibly being autistic, because that could implicate the mental health or the neurological status of the entire family. And then there are those who go and get a diagnosis and it's not autism, and so they'll go to another clinic for a second opinion, which is perfectly fine. I think anyone should get a second opinion for anything, no matter what your initial diagnosis is, or get an opinion every few years. But they'll go, and if they don't get the autism diagnosis, then they'll go to another clinic, and then it doesn't happen there. Now, I think three is okay too. Get a third opinion. I've always said get a third opinion whenever anyone has approached me about anything, especially something serious like that. Get a third opinion. But you get a feeling after a while that the individual just wants the autism diagnosis. It doesn't matter where it comes from, as long as it's a doctor and the papers are signed so they have something to show for it. They're not even going to get any treatment or any, I don't know. There's really not much in the way of treatment from what I understand for adults. Mostly what adults want to get out of it is a feeling of relief that it was the autism that has been, as I've been putting it, kind of booby trapping their life rather than just them making wrong choices because they're, you know, wrong or weak or whatever. And that's a lot. They can look over their life with the lens of autism and say, okay, this explains it. This is why I feel this way. This is why I've been doing these things. This is why acting in this way in this segment of society in this capacity has not been working for me. And they can ask for accommodations in their life. They can tell people around them, you know, I'm autistic and I have different needs. And they can go easier on themselves. So at least there's that we have as adults. But I think it would be, there's a pretty high demand for life skills classes for people who are over a certain age, you know, they're past young adulthood, they're going into middle age, and they're not able to get life skills unless their autism is pretty profound. But people with more profound autism have already been diagnosed. You know, they've already been identified at a very young age. So it sort of sets itself up. So we actually need, or a lot of us actually feel the need for a variety of classes that will teach anything from social skills in groups with others to life skills, maybe dealing with money or dealing with having a household and making sure you're safe at home. You know, not even just having a home that looks and feels good, but where you're safe. I know for me, it's a problem. I have had the fire alarm go off. I've had actual fires start in the kitchen because, that may be ADHD. I've been told by a couple doctors that I may have ADHD, but, and I have during these past two episodes been saying us and I and me because I sort of have a bias in my own head that I'm going to have this diagnosis of ASD because I've read so much about it and interacted with people about it. And it seems almost unlikely that with the problems I have, there would not be an ASD diagnosis. But if it turns out that it's my OCD, which is diagnosed, or it's the ADHD, which has been alluded to by two doctors, you know, that still makes me neurodivergent. And I will still come out and say, I got my results. There's not autism, but here is what else is going on with me. And I can look at my life with those lenses and have the same amount of relief and go into the communities and say, you know, hey, I did finally get my diagnosis and there's no ASD, but here's what came out. And I know I'm neurodivergent because of the OCD at least, and I'd be totally accepted. I think it's when you present yourself as being autistic without qualifying the fact that you're self-diagnosing, or you are just having strong suspicions, or you're still in the process, you know, that's when it kind of goes wrong. I know there was a girl on Wrong Planet who was back in the MySpace days. She was really active as a leader in the advocacy groups, and she never told anyone that she was self-diagnosed. She just called herself an autistic, and everyone, including the parents of pretty severely autistic kids, assumed that she meant that she was diagnosed by a doctor, because that's what people assumed back in, you know, back 5-10 years ago. And that's what most people would assume today. And when they found out, after she admitted that she had been professionally evaluated and it was found that she did not have an ASD or an ASC, as it's also called, an autism spectrum condition, she was turned on by a lot of people, including a lot of quote unquote autism moms. They felt betrayed. They felt like they had been spoken for by someone who was not autistic, who was careless about qualifying themselves as an autist or an autistic. And I can sense, I mean, I can tell where they're coming from, because you're misleading people, but she didn't mean to mislead people. And she actually did come out and tell the truth. And you would think that because she was brave enough to finally come out and tell the truth, that people would be like, oh, you can stay in the community. You've already done a lot for the community. But a lot of people just saw or perceived it as how they looked at Rachel Dolezal when she was exposed as a white woman who had been living as a Black woman. Yes, she did a lot of work for civil rights and for the Black community, leading the NAACP, but she could have done that as a white woman, as a strong ally who had brothers. She had brothers who were Black. They were adopted into her family with two white parents. She was the biological product of the two white parents. So it's the same thing. I think what they were saying is, if you let us have our autistic voice, you can have your ally voice, and a lot can still get done. So there are a lot of nuances. I know that sometimes with autism, we tend to see things in black and white and be very defensive over our stances. My stance tends to go in the direction of that, yes, you should, if possible, get a professional diagnosis. But I also feel like the doctor could be wrong. And if you look over some of the misdiagnosis statistics for something like ADHD or bipolar, a lot of kids are being diagnosed with those. I mean, everyone knew that kids were being diagnosed with autism and ADHD. And I think by now a lot of people know that they're also being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. But then later, with any of those disorders, it will come out that they were either misdiagnosed from the get, or they were eventually diagnosed as not having it and having grown out of it. And if you have grown out of something like autism, then you probably didn't have it, or you've learned to mask so heavily, whether you're aware of it or not, that it's still there under the surface. You've just learned compensatory strategies. So I guess I would be one of those who would say self-diagnosis is not a substitute for a real diagnosis, but a real diagnosis could be faulty as well, which would make getting a second and third opinion great, a perfect solution, as long as you're not doctor shopping because you want to be autistic because that's where you want to live. That's where your comfort is as far as your community. You can still be in those communities and be perfectly accepted and come out and say, you know, I was evaluated and I'm not autistic, but I am different. I do feel different and I want to be a strong ally. So those are all points to consider and points that people have been considering. And with that, we're past 25 minutes here and I'm going to stop recording and we'll meow at you later. Anupa buat kata Atmanua suka Alay buat kata